Well, hello and good evening. This is Gretchen at Freedom's Way Ministries and SpiritMindBodyConnection.com. If you'd like to join us, just check out those websites and you can get the number and the times. We'd love for you to join us. I heard someone came on. Would you like to introduce yourself tonight?
Hey, sis. Hi, Miss Gretchen.
Hey, Mitch. How's my guy doing out there on the road?
Yeah, doing good. I've been a little raspy for the past 2 weeks, but I've been doing good. Yes, ma'am. Thank you for asking. How about yourself? You okay?
Yep.
All righty.
Yes,
wonderful.
I am. Thank you.
Pennsylvania lady. Well, bless them. Thank you for being there for us, huh?
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, all my best to your family.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, Dan. Yes, ma'am. Well, best to you too, sis. Hope you're better. Hope you're okay.
Thank you, Mitch. So just for everybody out there, this is a live teleconferencing ministry, so we'll have people dialing in around the country. You're welcome to join us, as I said. You can check it out. Someone else come on who'd like to say hi before we begin?
Hi, Gretchen. It's Helen. Good to
be
here.
Hi, Helen. How are you? Thank you so much for being here tonight. Always makes me happy, you guys, saying hi and stuff. Appreciate it. All right. Well, we're just going to begin. I don't want to waste your time, and I appreciate you guys coming on. So give me 1 minute, and I'll get started. Okay, well, welcome everyone tonight. This is Gretchen from, again, Spirit, Mind, Body Connection and Freedom's Way Ministries. We are in session one of our new series on overcoming shame and discovering your true identity. This is written by Vicki Burdett from Freedom's Way Ministries, and I've gone through this series myself. I guess this is, probably the fourth time. And it's quite a walkout. So, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I just come before you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I bind and break the power of Satan and every principality and power, every ruler of the darkness of this world, all spiritual wickedness in the high heavenly places, and every demon on earth, below earth, under the earth, I say the Lord himself rebuke you through me. And Father, I take authority over every spirit or spirit guide that would bind, muffle, gag your gospel. And I command it to be bound, muffled, and gagged in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you, Father. So we are once again going to reveal the way that hell has used shame to hinder and limit God's people, just like it did for me, in practically every area of our lives on some level. This is a seminar that became a series, and many of you may have been down this road with us before, and if you have, great. You will now have the opportunity to review your life to determine if a door might have been open to this insidious thief of identity. And for those who are hearing this material for the first time, we encourage you to listen with both your inner ear and your outer ear so that you don't miss anything. The Lord is leading us in presenting these life-changing truths in preparation for our calling to freedom and our empowerment to minister truth and freedom to others. And we want to expose shame for the lie that it is, fully bringing it into the light of the truth of God so that every vestige of shame can be removed from our hearts and our lives. Our identity, our true identity, not who we think we are, but who God created us to be, has been affected by shame to a greater or lesser degree in all our lives. And shame continues its efforts to sneak back into our thoughts and emotions. It is time to let go of shame and embrace the glory of God. The foundational scripture for this series is found in Psalms 4:2, which reads, "Oh, you sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing?" That is lying. Selah. That means pause and think about that. So those are those lying vanities brought up again and again. You see, we've agreed with the enemy of our souls. And we who are created and meant to be God's glory in the earth, now we've agreed with hell and allowed the glory of God to be smothered by shame. And according to this verse in Psalms, that's because we love and follow worthless opinions and seek out the lies of the world. There is an appeal in this verse in Psalms for us to give up our agreement with hell, turn our love back towards God, and reject the lie of the devil. There is no other way that we can be the shining expression of God's glory. These next few weeks are going to be an amazing time with the Lord, and what we are about to learn and review will bring about a deep healing that everyone needs to experience in order to become the complete overcomers that we were created to be. So we'll be looking at what shame is and what it isn't, the burden and the destructiveness of shame, how to recognize if shame is controlling us in some way, where it comes from, and how it enters us, and what keeps shame in place in our lives. And God's answer of healing from shame. You know, and a mission that extensive can't be accomplished in one session. So we are going to be guided by the Holy Spirit week by week until we are satisfied that God is satisfied, that we all understand and can separate ourselves from shame. So let's first define shame and get a more clear understanding from the very beginning. Shame is not guilt. Although many people, both in the church and outside it, combine the two or use these words interchangeably. But shame is not guilt. Guilt is the feeling that we have when we know that we've done something wrong. We feel guilty. And feeling guilty should bring Holy Spirit conviction into our hearts and turn us to God in repentance. And unfortunately, this turning to God doesn't always happen, and shame is often the reason as to why it doesn't. You know, shame doesn't want us or our sins to be exposed. While guilt is what we feel when we've done something wrong, shame is a feeling of being something wrong. It's that inner feeling that there's something wrong with me. Not that I did something wrong, which is guilt, but rather I am something wrong, and that's shame. And you've heard us say this before. Hell isn't fair. At some time in our childhood, or maybe even in the womb, we were shamed. Reproach and disgrace were brought into our spirits through some lie from hell against which we had no defense of truth. And then, by the time we were exposed to the truth, the lie was so entrenched that many of us had become one with it. No one told us shame is not a part of us, that it isn't a normal emotion or way of life. We weren't taught how to recognize or separate ourselves from shame. You know, on the contrary, the church told us that Jesus was shamed and that we would suffer shame too, because it makes us good Christians. You see, Satan joined the church in the first century, bringing the religious, the self-righteous, judgmental spirit of the Pharisees to sit right alongside us in the pews and speak from the pulpit and keep us in bondage and shame. Right now, I stand in the gap for every religious person who shamed you in any way, and I repent to you on their behalf. I ask that you would forgive them and release them now so that the shame they brought into your life can be rooted out and burned in the consuming fire of the living God. The church is just one of the many places where shame is alive and well. Our families are another, and perhaps in our workplaces or social circles. You know, it seems impossible to get away from shame. And that's because the shame is in us. And wherever we go, it comes along. You know, as we bring these messages, we'll be looking at a lot of different sources of shame and digging them up. And we'll visit shame in the church, shame in the family, shame in the culture and in the generations, and all kinds of stuff. So don't miss these meetings, because we are going to be as in-depth as possible. You know, we've already said that guilt is a feeling of I made a mistake, I messed up, while shame is a feeling of I am a mistake, I'm a mess up. And this creates in us a self-focus that magnifies everything about us through a warped looking glass and twists our thinking. If any behavior or appearance on our part seems inappropriate, wrong, or embarrassing, then thought patterns flow immediately into a river of shame, like there's something wrong with me and everybody knows it. Or I deserve this, whatever bad thing might be happening, because I'm so bad. Or I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. And shame makes us unable to receive compliments, love, or acceptance. So here's a good definition of shame: a disturbed or painful feeling of blameworthiness, incompetence, or indecency. And once shame is established in us, then it becomes strengthened by guilt. So when we actually mess up and do something wrong, we feel guilty about it, and shame takes occasion of guilt to reinforce its control of the lie from hell. You know, this could be the lie that we are worthy of punishment. This lie keeps us from repenting. Or that we are incompetent and inadequate. This lie keeps us from receiving compliments, acceptance, and love. Or that we are indecent and disgraceful. And this lie keeps us from receiving the love of God and people and turns us into bitter balls of self-hatred and rejection. So spiritually speaking, shame is a lie that we believe about ourselves or God. And that causes us to reject God's love and forgiveness based on feelings of personal unworthiness. I'm going to say that again. So spiritually speaking, shame is a lie that we believe about ourselves or God that causes us to reject God's love and forgiveness based on feelings of personal unworthiness. People who say, I can't forgive myself, or it's just hard for me to forgive myself, are shame-based individuals. Now, maybe somebody out there just went further into shame, feeling ashamed. That's you? Well, give it up, people. Rejoice that one of your deepest root issues is about to be uprooted. And as we gain a general understanding about this destroyer, we will then be able to go deeper and really dig it out. You know, and many of you will get some healing even as we speak. And as the weeks progress, more and more shame will be exposed and removed. You know, I'm just going to interrupt here. The first time I went and saw this live seminar, I went to Ohio, and there was a woman who had so much mobility problems. And by the time that this was over and we had prayed for her separately, she was running around the room. I couldn't believe it. It was the only time I've ever seen anybody do that. But shame is a destroyer. And shame prevents us from being vulnerable because it tells us that we can't appear weak. And without vulnerability, we can't be healed. So shame prevents our healing, especially emotional healing. We believe on some level that we are not worth anything and that nobody wants us or loves us, that we have no purpose, that we should never have been born, and so forth. And the shame that we feel binds itself to other evil spirits, which a lot of mental health people call emotional defense mechanisms or some other such psychological semantics. But we all need to realize and admit that demons are demons. And if it makes you feel better to call them hindrances or limitations, mental problems, or influences from hell, you know, that's okay. But know that as long as you believe that it's just you, that it's just a part of who you are, or that it's a mental or physical issue you have to live with, you can't separate yourself from it. And if you can't separate yourself from it, you cannot be free of it. You know, so shame and its buddies work in our emotions, which is why one reason people think it's just me. And, you know, God gave us emotions so that we can relate to him and to each other in godly ways. Emotions are not bad. But, unfortunately, most emotions are not emotions at all, but they're evil spirits acting out their nasty natures and deceiving us into more shame. When we deny or repress our true emotions, then shame has a heyday. And here's what I mean. Okay, so let's say that as a child, you had a special doll or a toy fire truck or something that really meant a lot to you. And in the overall scheme of things, it wasn't worth much, but to you, it was a treasure. And a neighbor kid or your big sister or brother took your treasure and destroyed it. Well, how did that make you feel? You were hurt, angry, disappointed, and brokenhearted. Those are real emotions. You cried and went running to mom, but instead of understanding the pain you were feeling, she shamed you. Oh, for goodness sake, it's only a toy. Don't be such a crybaby. You were made to feel that there was something wrong with you because you hurt inside. What happens in the spirit is that shame comes in and begins to repress godly emotions so that you become unable to grieve when you're in pain over a loss and you lose touch with yourself and others. Dissociative behaviors begin to pattern themselves in your thinking. And the truth is that we should all be able to grieve and not feel ashamed. Shame masks true emotions and causes us to try to become what we think other people want or need us to be. We give up our true identity to be molded by opinions of other people rather than God. Big boys don't cry. If you don't stop crying, I'll give you something to cry about. You know, and shame can press good emotions such as joy in a personal or a corporate victory. You know, one of the biblical examples of shame stealing joy is when the nation of Israel wrought a great victory against her enemies, but King David was in such ungodly grief that the people felt that they could not express their victory. That is found in 2 Samuel 19, verses 2 and 3. And the victory that day was turned into mourning unto all the people, for the people heard say that day how the king was grieved for his son. And the people got them by stealth that day into the city, as people being ashamed steal away when they flee in battle. So when emotions are repressed, fear also comes, because we become afraid that we won't be able to hold it in and our true feelings will break out. We fear being out of control, losing control, being exposed or vulnerable, and any of that would cause us more shame. This takes us into self-rejection and self-hatred, low or no self-esteem, chronic unhappiness, and depression. Don't you think shame needs to be recognized and dealt with? Shame causes us to be totally self-focused as we go about our lives, trying to hide our shame so that no one discovers how bad we really are. And some people hide shame behind a prideful or arrogant exterior, and this only brings on more shame. Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. You know, some people hide shame behind independence and self-reliance, making it impossible to ask anyone for help when we need it. And sometimes we can be moving in self-reliance even while we're giving lip service to God. And this is really just another face of pride, and it piles on more shame. Ezra 8:22. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. But his power and wrath is against all them that forsake him. You know, some people wall off their hearts and hide behind boundaries we create to keep others at a distance so we can't be touched and we won't feel their pain either. You know, we're afraid we'll be found out, and that keeps us always focused on ourselves, on our problems, our thoughts, our lives, our everything. And let me tell you, it is impossible to see God's plan for your life when you have a self-focused mindset. And in addition to a self-focused mindset, there are some emotional indicators that shame has captured our thought life and is controlling us in some way. As long as shame is in place, our healing and deliverance will only be superficial, incomplete, or temporary, because shame is at the root of many of our problems. Shame can cause automatic, ungodly responses to people and situations. You know, you may have already admitted within yourself that shame has been at work in you, but for those of you who aren't sure yet, see if any of these manifestations apply to you. Anger. So anger is an indicator of shame. Now, we're not talking about normal anger, but anger that expresses itself in violent emotional outbursts and overreactions, even a sort of uncontrollable rage. You know, and oddly, there seldom seems to be a known or apparent reason for the anger. You know, we explode on people with little or no provocation. And anger is often, more than not, an automatic response when things don't go our way. It's common with shame-bound people because the fear of shame causes them to repress normal anger, and it's always pent up, and it's just under the surface. Sarcasm is another indicator of shame. Sarcasm is a destroyer that wounds the spirit. And when sarcasm is prevalent in conversations, shame is almost always the motivator behind it. People who continually keep striking back at their families and those they love are tied to shame. Another prevalent indicator of shame is self-hatred. The forms of self-hatred are many and varied, but a common one is self-rejection. And the most common expression of self-rejection is hating some part of your body. My nose is too big. My eyes are the wrong color. My hair's too curly or too straight. My ears stick out. Whatever. Self-hatred and rejecting your body can take you into bulimia or anorexia or death wishes or risky behaviors and all sorts of ungodly stuff. And the sad part is that changing a body part will not cause a person to accept themselves. So here is a test that will indicate shame in this area. If you had the power to change anything about your appearance, would you? You know, this question is about real, radical changes from a belief that the changes will make you happy with you. We're not talking about wearing makeup or coloring your hair and that kind of thing. The next indicator of being shame-bound is a victim mentality. This is poor me thinking. Nobody has it as bad as I do. Nobody understands me. Nobody loves me. Nobody helps me. No one wants to be my friend. I'm always the last one picked for the team and so on. You know, there are people in our lives, we all know them, who live in this kind of thinking. And I hope that you're not one of them. You know, because if you've been busy inviting people to your pity parties, you need to stop because nobody wants to come. My mother used to say, misery loves company. And she was right. Miserable people want to bring others down with them into victim thinking.
victim mentality never sees a way out, only doom and gloom prevail. And even when the victim is offered a helping hand, they will have a reason why the solution won't work. Is this you? When things go wrong, do you wallow in the failure or mistake? You know, a person with victim mentality usually has an evil eye also and can only see the negative in everything. You know, I already tried that. That won't work because victims want you in the pit with them, and victims are bound in shame. Even biblical answers are rejected, and so God can't help either. Warped thinking is another indicator of shame. For example, when rejection comes, and all of us have the opportunity to be rejected every day, twisted thinking exaggerates the rejection to epic proportions, and it causes us to believe that no one likes us. It can even set up paranoia. Shame-bound people seldom see circumstances clearly, and their warped, twisted thinking is transferred towards God in accusation. What did I do to deserve this, God? This person has a warped perception about life, what it is, and their place in it. A warped view of God and of themselves. Shame-bound people also experience a lack of vision. Most people with shame live their lives without much direction. They blame events and people in their past for having no forward progress in their lives. You know, shame makes us forget the word that tells us that we have a future and that God has a plan and purpose for us. And it also causes us to be unwilling to remove the distorted glasses that cloud our vision. People with lack of vision usually just go through life's motions as they sit around and wait to die. Hopelessness is another indicator of shame. This usually stems from the belief that we are no longer, or perhaps have never been, useful to God. Shame convinces us that we have sinned too much or too badly to be used, forgiven, or loved by God. Shame-bound people also often believe that they are marked for punishment. God's correction is viewed as punishment rather than guidance toward success. And God is thought of as a punishing God. And at the same time, the shame-bound person both expects and believes that they deserve punishment. This denies the cross and the love of God altogether. So if any of these indicators, whether it's anger, sarcasm, self-hatred, victim mentality, twisted thinking, lack of vision, hopelessness, or believing that you are marked for punishment, tells us that shame has captured our thinking. Until we realize the truth and begin to think differently, we will never act differently. And when we merge the lies of hell with our own life experiences, it can create in us an unwillingness to believe what God says about us. Don't forget, it is the truth that makes free. It's not a power battle. God has all power. It is a truth battle. And it is the truth that makes us free. And the truth is that Jesus was shamed so that you and I could be free of shame and walk in his glory. He made the way for that divine exchange to be made in our lives. And now we have to begin to make it. It is truth that makes us free. Truth is not simply a thing to believe. It is a person to know. Here is the first essential truth to overcoming shame. God formed each and every one of us, and he made us in his likeness. God is not ugly, trashy, stupid, a no good, or liar. You know, we are made in God's image, and that makes us lovely, lovable, beautiful and passionate, wise, gifted, and desirable. That is an essential truth, and it is a truth that makes us free. So we're going to lead you in a prayer to get started on the road to recovery from shame. But we'll open a line to heaven first. So, Heavenly Father, I know that many of the things that happened to your people when they were children were not in your plan for them, Lord. We've been shamed by our parents, our friends, by leaders in the church, by our teachers and others. And I ask that you close the doors of distraction from the world and hell that would have any person drawn away from participating in this supplication to you. And that you open our ears to hear and our hearts to understand and to receive your truth and to truly get to know the truth, our Lord Jesus Christ. Because when we know who he is, then we know who we are. And I ask for an increase of your Holy Spirit presence in every heart and every home, so that the different situations you want to deal with are brought to mind. And we recognize that you, Lord, are the deliverer, and we can do nothing without you. Give each one of us the courage to forgive those who shamed us, and to forgive ourselves. Put us on the road to recovery, Lord, as we come before you in vulnerability, trusting you to bring us into your truth as we enter the process that will forever forever free us from shame. Praise God. So pray this prayer with me. Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for giving me insight into shame so that I can identify it and to begin to remove myself from it. Lord, your word says that I am to come out from the unclean thing. And I can see that shame is an unclean thing that has bound me in many areas of my life. I want to be free from shame, Father. And I can't do that without you. Lord, I choose right now to forgive my mother and my father for all the times they shamed me and made me feel worthless and unloved. I forgive all my ancestors for opening the door to shame and for establishing a pattern of shame in our family. I forgive and release all my ancestors, my parents, my brothers and sisters, pastors and leaders in the church, teachers, classmates, bosses and co-workers, and all others who brought shame into my life. And I release them into your hand, Lord. I forgive them for the words, the actions, and the attitudes that shamed me, that opened the door for anger, sarcasm, and self-hatred to work in my life. I ask you to forgive me for allowing the opinions and words of others to hide your truth that I am perfectly created in your image. And I forgive myself for having done that. I ask you to forgive me for any time I brought shame into another person's life. And I forgive myself for having done that. Forgive me, Lord, for participating with anger, sarcasm, and self-hatred, and for allowing my thoughts to carry me into a victim mentality, warped thinking, and hopelessness. I realize those conditions are not a part of who I am, and I renounce them now. I ask you to forgive me, Father, for allowing shame to rob me of vision and truth, And I ask that vision and truth be restored in me. Forgive me, Lord, for receiving the lie of hell that there is something wrong with me, for believing that lie, and for living it. I receive your forgiveness, Father, and I forgive myself. Lord, I ask that by your Holy Spirit, you begin to show me the situations of my past where shame came in, so that I can forgive those who were used to bring it. I pledge to bring each and every situation before you, Father, and to receive your truth so that the lies can be dispelled. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your truth that frees me from shame. And all God's people said, Amen. Well, hello, everyone. I've opened up the line for Q&A. Hope you are well. You know, one of the things that will help remind you of who you are and who God is the daily affirmation of identity that we repeat every morning during the week. So if you want a copy of this, you can go to the website. Again, that's freedomswayministries.com. And then the teleconference schedule for the copies of the morning prayers and affirmation. But I'm just going to do that before I get us talking. And that's when I am focused on what I don't have and what I can't do. God has nothing to work with. I must bring him what I do have and what I can do, and he will multiply that. It is God who prospers me. I do not prosper me. He takes care of my needs for no other reason than he loves me. And one of his names is Jehovah Jireh, which means God will see to it. So whatever I need, I can be sure that God will supply it, because that is who he is. So what do I have? What can I do? I will bring God myself and give him my life daily in praise and worship. I will recognize him, exalt him, and speak his word, not the word of the world. I have a voice to worship with, to sing with, to encourage others with. I have a mind with which I can choose to agree with God and what he says about me and others. I have a will that I can use to stand against the assignment of the enemy who tries to define my identity, and a will to resolve that only the Lord Jesus Christ has the authority to define my identity. My identity is not in what I can do. It is in what he can do through me. Praise God. May his glory cover all the earth as the waters cover the seas. All right, anyone who wants to say something, question, comment, hit the *6 key to be heard.
Excellent teaching, Gretchen. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Helen. I've been through this series, like I said, several times. It just is like a layer and unpacks in so many ways. So we're just going to keep breaking it off layer by layer.
Yes, thank you, Gretchen. It reminds me of a lot of stuff. Brings up some old past and stuff. Thank you.
You're very welcome, sir. I do nothing but show up.
You're a blessing. Thank you.
Yes, you are. Thank you so much, Gretchen. I got more off tonight. I thought I didn't have anything left.
Oh, I know. God clears me out before we start. I always yawn for like 5 minutes before the line starts. So I was like, it's all good.
I know we were all blessed tonight.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, you know, it is not a power battle, it's a truth battle. And so, Father, I just take authority over any lying spirit, any lying vanity, any spirit or spirit guide of shame, blame, unworthiness, fault-finding, blame-shifting. I speak to all self-accusation in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and I command it to rise up. Leave God's people, leave my bloodline, Lord. I stand in the gap for my family. Please, God, please break this off of my children. I pray, God, that you would not only hear that prayer for me, but for everyone, all the people that have spoken up, those that haven't, Lord. We are here. And we love our families, Lord. And we thank you that you love them more than us. Sorry about the dog in the background. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace as only he can. For he is the Prince of Peace and Emmanuel. Father, wrap your people in your perfect peace, not in the absence of conflict, but in spite of it. I thank you, God, for the victory of humility. And I thank you, Father, that your glory swallows up shame. Good night, everyone. I love you all. I'll be back Friday night. I think it's eight weeks. It's pretty long. So hang in there with me. It's worth getting free. And coming into rest.
Thank you, Gretchen. Love you. Good night.
Good night, everyone. Good night.
Good night. God bless.
Good night, everybody. Good night.